Welcome to Millington Baptist Church. The message you are about to hear was delivered at Millington by Dr. Peter Pendell.
I don't know if you read a newspaper or news magazine or if you watch Fox or CNN or one of the other broadcasts, but when I look upon our country, I see all kinds of issues that are worthy of discussion and debate and talk, but there's one especially that enters into a Sunday morning here at Millington Baptist Church, and that is the subject of gay marriage. It's not a subject that I would choose to talk about. It's not something that I like to talk about. In fact, I'm intimidated by the possible repercussions of talking about it, very honestly. I heard from one of our people who was in Maine recently, in a church in Maine, where the legislature passed gay marriage and then the referendum turned it back. And I know that some of the people in Maine who have been on that traditional marriage side have been having very difficult times as a result. So I'm not anxious to do this, but the subject is being forced upon us. In fact, this is Sunday before Thanksgiving Day, and I would normally talk about being thankful. I put that off for a week. And the reason why I put that off for a week was because it is very probable that tomorrow and the days after that, there will be tremendous pressure on our legislators in Trenton during this lame duck session of the legislature to pass gay marriage as a right for people in New Jersey. Everything to expect that. And I know you hear things from one side and they say, well, no, the economy is too pressing an issue. And I think Mr. Sweeney said that the other day, but then Ms. Feinstein was livid with her reaction to that. So the subject is not going to go away, and this is prime time because our governor-elect will not sign for gay marriage, but our current governor will sign for gay marriage. So if there's ever a time when you and I need to talk about this subject, we need to think about it and talk about it and look at what the Bible says. You know, it puts us as followers of Jesus, especially in a very difficult position because we're told to obey the Lord, but we're also told to love people. And you know as well as I do that it's very easy to take this subject and say, well, if you won't allow us to marry, then the claim is you don't love us and you don't treat us with respect and dignity. And I understand that claim. And I understand that there's a problem there, but I'm also convinced that when it comes to the future generations, when it comes to the larger culture, when it comes to our society as a whole, we have every reason to pass laws and you and I have every reason to advocate for laws. And this is not a political discussion. This is simply a moral issue. That you and I have great stake in this question and this decision that's going to be made. And I want to give you some ways to think about it. I want to give you some ways to respond to it. I want to give you some ways to have some kind of voice in Trenton as the subject comes. And it is surely going to come without any doubt about it. Don't feel badly that you want to draw lines. Every time a law is passed, we draw lines. And if you draw the lines to protect what's right and what's good within the culture, in the best way you possibly can, though we are not without possibility of error in lots of areas, still you have to stand. You have to say, no further. This is as far as we can go, and we have to hold it at this point. So I am urging you to become advocates, and I'd like to talk for this morning about why it's so important. Some of it will come straight out of the Bible. Some of it will be more social in nature in terms of its impact if gay marriage is passed in New Jersey. But I think you can sift all that and think that through. There is an insert in the bulletin that will help you if you want to take notes and think that through. There's some information in the foyer that you can get from New Jersey Family Policy Council. And you'll get lots of ideas this morning that you'll need to wrestle with and you'll need to think through and see if what I'm telling you makes sense. And even more important than that, see if what I'm telling you is in reflection of what the scriptures say, because that's what's most important. We're bound by the Bible. We really are. And we don't always understand it perfectly. I understand that. But we have to take the understanding we have and apply it in the best possible way we know how in terms of the circumstances of the day. And there are really two subjects that I get up here and talk about of this kind of nature. One is the abortion issue, and you've heard from me many times about that over the last 28 years or so. And this one is one that likewise, in my mind, demands that I say something about it, especially at this crucial lame duck session of the legislature that's coming up, and we're in the session right now. So, the basic building block of our culture is found in what the Older Testament says about marriage, It comes right from there, and it continues through the Newer Testament, but the place we go back to always is Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. And you know what it says? It's talking about Adam and Eve, obviously, there. But for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become flesh. That's kind of the bedrock in terms of what I consider to be the most important scripture for this subject of marriage. And true, it's from the Bible, and true, it comes from God. I wouldn't deny that in any sense, because if I deny that, then I'm betraying my deepest convictions. But it has application in terms of culture as a whole, and has served us as a grounding point for this subject of marriage throughout the history of the United States of America. And it's only in recent days that that is under threat and under possibility of change. You might know that 31 states have voted about the subject of gay marriage, and in 31 cases, it has been turned down. Where the people get to vote, the people have consistently said, no, we do not change the definition of marriage. You may also know that in 5 states, it is approved, but that was by legislative or judicial action, not by the vote of the people. We are not allowed to vote on the subject in New Jersey, so it will be the legislature's decision. And as I say, before Governor Christie takes office, this is a crucial time because he will not sign for gay rights marriage once he takes office. But this is a crucial period of time, these 2-3 months that we have to deal with the subject. Here's the definition of marriage that I'm using, and I think it finds its basis in Genesis 2:24. But here's the definition. Marriage is the publicly pledged, permanent, exclusive, covenantal union of one man and one woman. As simple as I can possibly make it, and every word is important there, but we don't have time to look at all the words in it. But if you want to write that down, that's just a great definition of marriage as we understand it from the scriptures. Marriage is the publicly pledged, permanent, exclusive, covenantal union of one man and one woman. That's a critical definition. And bearing that definition in mind and the passage in Genesis 2:24, let me give you 7 reasons why I believe we need to hold the line here and not go any further. And then you can think them through and pray about them and decide what you need to do about them. The first is probably the most important reason. It is because by changing that definition, we will quickly destroy the traditional family. Now I know gay pride people say that it has nothing to do with the traditional family. And it doesn't in its immediate effect, but it does in its long-term impact in terms of our culture. Because what it will do is redefine for younger generations what is right and what is good and what is beneficial in terms of relationship with another person. It will cease to elevate the ideal of marriage between one man and one woman in the position that it's always had prior to this time. It was natural for me to want to get married because my dad and mom were married, and I saw joy there, and I saw strength there, and I saw persistence there, and I saw the ability to give me the kind of home that I needed. So there was nothing else in my sister's or my mind, but well, of course we're going to get married. Now, if we didn't get married, we remained single, that's another question. That will change if this kind of change is made in our state and ultimately in our country. God designed marriage for the kind of intimacy that can normally only occur in a lifelong, monogamous, committed marriage, one partner from each sex. That's the way he designed it, and that's the way it works. That's why I go back to the Genesis passage, chapter 2, verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. See, the ultimate impact, and it may not be in you, but it will be in your children, your grandchildren, and it might even be in you, the ultimate impact of same-sex marriage is to bring confusion upon sexual identity, lifelong commitments, emotional bonding, sexual purity, the role of children in a family. In essence, the sanctity of marriage will be injured, if not killed, in the process. And you know, I say that at the same time acknowledging that we who are in committed marriages are not living out all that we need to be living out. And the other side will always point to the failures in the heterosexual side where marriage is concerned. And I have to acknowledge, yeah, we failed in many cases with that. But I'll tell you what, I see countless numbers of couples who are living that out. And everybody's benefiting because they are. And you can't get rid of the ideal simply because some of those ideals don't come to pass. That's a false way to think about it. If gay marriage becomes the law of the land, marriage will be reduced to something of a partnership that provides attractive benefits and sexual convenience, but cannot offer the intimacy intended by God. Cohabitation and short-term relationships will naturally be seen as just as good as marriage if all the other benefits that had been reserved for marriage are now seen within those relationships. So younger generations who are already confused about this subject as it is, and countless numbers of people that I count to are already living together, well, that will be further decimated in terms of their understanding of what's best. So those younger generations, they are of concern to me. A second concern where the family is concerned, and that is polygamy and other alternatives will be advanced. You have to be aware that once you cross this barrier of one man, one woman in a committed relationship, there's no other place to draw the line. And if you break down the line there, then surely men and women are going to be after multiple marriages. And a man will want to marry three wives or two wives or four, and a woman might want to marry three men, two men, whatever it is. And a man might want to marry three men, or a woman, three women. Or who knows? That's the issue. Where do you draw the line? If you destroy the traditional picture of marriage, there is no other place to draw the line. And all you have to do is go on the websites, and you can find in Google all the different kinds of organizations that are advocating for an end to marriage as we know it and advocating polygamy. They come from all kinds of backgrounds. You know that Mormons have had a history of polygamy, so the offshoots of the Mormon Church, and maybe some within the Mormon Church itself, I don't know, but the offshoots of the Mormon Church, they want to have multiple marriages. 3, 4, 10, 20 wives? I think that's crazy, but that's another subject. Muslims, I've been in Muslim countries where there are multiple marriages, and you'll ride down the street and I down the road, and I've asked my friends who live there, and what is that? Well, that's where the man lives with the wife of his choice for the moment, and then the other outlying buildings are for the other wives. Muslims will no doubt want to have multiple marriages. People, even from so-called Christian backgrounds, will want to have multiple marriages. The secular people will want to have... All I'm saying is there's no place to draw the line once this is broken down. And surely, if marriage to another man would be a civil right for me, then marriage to three men would be a civil right for me, or marriage to three women would be a civil right for me. There's no place to draw the line. That's the problem. So once it starts, it snowballs and it continues. Ultimately, polyamorous will be the rule of the day. You may not know that word, and I don't blame you if you don't know that, but polyamorous means many loves. And the ideal is to have lots of loves without any kind of commitment to them. It replaces words like infidelity and adultery and cheating and promiscuity, because if I have many loves, then I'm not bound by those other terms anymore, am I? That's very convenient, but that's not good. It is the stated objective of much of the pro-gay marriage movement to have polyamorous rule the day. Michael Kinsley, writing in the Washington Post, in an article called Abolish Marriage, Let's Really Get the Government Out of Our Bedrooms. Judith Levine, Village Voice, Stop the Wedding, Why Gay Marriage Isn't Radical Enough. Why is it not radical enough? Because we want to get rid of marriage, that's why. The ultimate cost of same-sex marriage is that marriage will disappear from our society and our culture, and marriage is the building block for our culture. So with the demise of marriage, so you get the demise of our culture and our society. You cannot have it and not destroy the family. And once you destroy the family, children will suffer most. Children don't need a village, they need parents. That's what they need. Children will suffer most because what you'll have is a brave new world in which people, by and large, don't bother to marry. Why would they choose to be married if all the benefits of being married are now accumulated by any kind of living arrangement that you might have? Benefits restricted to married people at one time now available apart from marriage, ranging from respect, which is the key issue here. Acceptance and respect is the key issue, and that's why civil unions are not enough for the gay movement. It must be marriage, because civil union doesn't give the respect for the institution of gay marriage that is demanded. That's why it keeps going and pressing. Medical coverage, minimal commitment, custody rights, why be married? Without the commitment of marriage, kids live in a state of constant flux, new adults coming and going from their lives on a regular basis. But this is where the rubber meets the road, because more than anything else, children need stability. They need a strong foundation for their homes. Children don't need a village. They need parents. They need parents who are committed to each other. They need parents who are committed to them for as long as they shall live. No ending on that. Social scientists have told us over and over again that the kids who grow up in a two-family home or two-parent home of a husband, a father and a mother, are the kids who, by and large, with exceptions, obviously, but by and large, they're the ones that make out the best because they have that foundation behind them. We all know that. I mean, you've told me that. If you've been divorced and you have a child to raise, you've told me what it's like, how hard it is. You know what it's like to try to raise a child by yourself. You know what it's like to, without a committed, lifelong partner who, for one reason or another, you're divorced from or you're separated from. And I don't mean to give you a hard time. I'm just saying that when daddy changes partners conveniently, that doesn't make for solid security for the children. When daddy has partners outside the home or mommy has partners outside the home, that doesn't give the security that a child needs to grow up in the best way that they can possibly grow up. Polyamorous relationships, and the word is there. You can look it up on Google, and you'll find organizations committed to polyamorous relationships. They are a guaranteed recipe for instability, and the truth is that homosexual and lesbian people, by and large, do not believe in a monogamous relationship, even in civil unions, and even where marriage is the case, in the five states where it's the case. By and large, men especially, do not believe in a monogamous relationship, even though the marriage has taken place in those states. And as the marriage becomes more and more disposable, the likelihood of a stable setting for children disappears. And as that stable setting for children disappears, so does the society that they have counted on to take care of the future for them. It just one follows another. Kids will suffer most. And ultimately, the culture will suffer because we depend on families. We depend on stable families. We depend on children raised by parents who love them, the male and the female input and influence in their lives, to give us the undergirding of the society that you and I appreciate so much. And we lose that in the midst of gay marriage. Here's a third reason why we have to do something about it, and that is that public schools will embrace homosexuality because they will have no choice. If you have kids in the public schools, listen carefully, because if the homosexual and lesbian movement is successful in having their lifestyle, this is not orientation I'm talking about active lifestyle, endorsed and classified as a civil rights issue, then all public institutions will be forced to speak in favor of it. All public institutions, schools especially. Now, parents and kids, this is the way it works in the states where it's already been approved by the legislature or judicial forces. Parents in those states can try to speak out, and children can try to divorce themselves from the active teaching of the homosexual lifestyle, but they will not be successful. Sooner or later, that's going to be closed, that avenue. They will not be free to say no to that. It'll be the natural teaching in their schools. I talked to a second grade teacher who was here at the 9 o'clock service, and she told her husband, she said, if I'm forced to read those books, I'm out of the schools. In fact, one of the really tough results of this coming into the schools is that Christian schools will vacate the schools because they will not read the books to the children in second grade and under. You say, what books? Well, The King and King, that's one of the books. The Different Dragon, that's another book. Heather Has Two Mommies, that's another book. And these books, by the way, they're right on Amazon. You can check them out. They're there. They're all written for young children. When we were in Trenton a couple of weeks ago at that rally that I mentioned to you, there was a father there from Massachusetts. I'm quite sure it was Massachusetts, where gay rights is, gay marriage is legal. Or it might have been Maine. I have to get that straight in my mind. His second grade daughter came home, and the teacher had read Heather Has Two Mommies, or one of the other books. He went to the schools to fight it. The school says, no, it's legal in our state. You can't fight it. He went to the courts to fight it. The court said, no, it's legal in our states. You cannot stop this. If there's no other reason, it's the public school issue that scares me the most. and we will have no control on that. And what that does is that put Christian parents in an impossible situation with their children. Imagine your second grader coming home saying, "Oh, look at this book. This is a wonderful book," and talking about how bright the colors are and how pretty the pictures are. And then you find out what the book is advocating. Then what do? Then you're at loggerheads with a second grader over their teachers and the people in their school. And more than likely, many, many people will go for Christian schools or for homeschooling, and I understand that. I'm about ready to start Peter's Academy for Austin. Yeah. But that's further vacating of the public schools and the influence that Christians have had there. So any choice you make has a painful result. For the sake of the children, we have to speak out. If there's any class of people, any group of people that we are told to defend and speak up for, it's the helpless people. A second grader is helpless. Her mind will be shaped. Her ethics will be shaped. It'll be outside your control. Now's the time to stop that from happening. The traditional family will be destroyed as the ideal and the norm in America. Children will suffer the most. Public schools will be forced to embrace homosexuality. I don't know that I have to give you any other reasons, but if you've taken notes on those, I suspect you're going to be ready to do what I said or what I say when I get to the end of the service. But there's other reasons, and there's four more that really struck me as being worthy of mention. They're not as direct, they're not as immediate, but they're still important, and they still have far-ranging implications in terms of this whole issue of gay marriage. So let me go a little bit further. You can see on that outline that there's more there. Let me go to number four. Religious freedom will likely be at great risk. You say, "No, they can't do that." Oh, yeah, that's the way it works. Sure it does. That's the way it works in other countries. Canada has a law that effectively criminalizes speech or writings that criticize homosexuality because anything deemed to be homophobic can be punished by 6 months in prison or by other severe penalties. What's homophobic? Well, that's up to the judge. And I'm not sure I trust all the judges. Can it happen here? Sure, it can happen here. Absolutely. And even if that step is not taken and they don't come into the churches, we're going to be afraid to talk about it. Somebody told me about the pastor. They went to church in Maine a couple of weeks ago, and you know that Maine had a law that was passed by the legislature to legalize gay marriage. And then there was a movement among the people to have a referendum, such as we're not allowed to have at this point. And the churches became active and said, "We've got to fight this." Number one, his wife went out from the grocery store and they surrounded her car and they rocked her car to bring fear to her. You say, that's small. Well, something else they're doing is they're bringing the churches that advocated a reversal of that law back to traditional marriage. And they are bringing their names and their information to the IRS, hopefully to remove their tax-exempt status. I don't know where that is now. So even if there's not a direct assault upon religious freedom, it will be indirect because the gay movement wants a standard teaching that this is just as good an alternative as heterosexual is. Believe it. Five, other nations will follow the leader. Like it or not, our influence around the world is great. I mean, it's great for good and it's great for bad. It multiplies because we're a pace setter, because people point to the United States of America. They say, they do it there, they do it there, or they don't do it there, they don't do it there. And they use us as something of a standard. At this point, those who stand for truth in other countries will no longer have the United States of America if indeed this sweeps through the states. And believe me when I say that as it gains momentum, it is gaining momentum to other states. And as it gets this endorsement as a civil right, it will not be brought to the people, because to ban gay marriage would be to ban a civil right. And that's against the Constitution. So the label of civil rights, if that's applied to gay marriage, then the battle's lost in terms of our laws. Other countries are going to look. In fact, I was thinking this morning as I was preparing that radical Muslim nations love to point to the United States as decadent, radical Muslim movements love to point to the United States as decadent and worthy of no consideration except bombs and destruction. You can believe that that is going to be added to the list of what's wrong with the United States and why we need to get rid of it, and we need to rid the earth of the United States of America. So our influence around the world is going to be negative if this passes. Number six, the gospel of Jesus Christ will be further distanced from the world we're called to reach, because we will be increasingly seen as bigoted and prejudiced, and that picture will stand in contradiction to our claims of love. That's just the way it works. So the more this becomes accepted, the more you and I are going to stand out as unloving people, even though we bring the gospel of Jesus to people, and it is a loving gospel. When we draw the line here, we're going to be misunderstood at this point. If it's passed into legalized marriage, it is far further down the road when you want to stand for the truth in Jesus. Besides that, I'm not sure that we think about this too often because it comes from the book of Malachi, but God has a purpose that can really only be taken care of in the midst of a committed relationship, lifelong covenant relationship between a man and a woman. You see it on the screen. It says, has not the Lord made them one? Who's he talking about? A husband and a wife. In flesh and spirit, they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. Why did God institute marriage? Well, he was seeking godly offspring. Does that mean that all marriages have to have children? No, that doesn't mean that. But that's how he's going to populate the world and countries with godly offspring through godly parents. If you have people who are married and somehow having children by adoption or anything else, who are not teaching godly principles, then you won't have the godly children that God intended for us to have as the bulwark of our nation. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. What a word to us in the midst of our marriages. Guard yourself in your spirit and don't break faith with the wife of your youth. And I look at men and women and I say, don't easily walk away. It gets painful, I understand. And sometimes it's necessary, I get that. But don't do it quickly. Hang in there. It is God's intent to populate a nation through godly offspring. And the only way that can happen is through godly parents. A godly man, godly woman, who marry in a committed covenant relationship and raise children, either their own or adopted, or their nieces and nephews, or have that influence upon those children. Number seven, the culture war will be over. I don't mean to dramatize it. I don't mean to say that it's everything. I'm just saying that this is one of the biggest issues. I know we fight about the life issue and what happens to babies in the womb and what happens to older people who are on their bed in declining health. They go with this. This is such a mammoth, culture-changing decision. This is such an approval of what we have for our entire history considered to be the truth and the bottom line and what's important and taught to our children and taught in our churches and taught in our public schools and taught in all kinds of settings. This is one of those big issues that if this one is turned over, then there's no other place to draw the line, except with the greatest number of votes and the greatest influence of the people who push the politicians one way or another. So what we're really talking about here is the domino effect. You play dominoes, you line them up in a row, and then you push one, what's it do? Well, it pushes the others, and then the next one, and then the next one, and the next one. And I believe with all my heart that what's happening here is that as that first one gets pushed in terms of gay marriage, it will topple the other ones that are past it. And I, for one, am not willing to live with that. Are you? Are you willing to live with that? Are you willing to let go at this point? Are you willing to let that happen in the public schools? Are you willing to let that happen in our culture? Are you willing to let that happen in churches and synagogues and mosques and other places? The will of God is for one man, one woman, covenant relationship for a lifetime, raising godly children if God so blesses them in that way. Well, that's it. You'll have to look at those yourself and think them through. You'll have to decide if I am speaking from Scripture and from scriptural principles, and then if I am speaking from Scripture and scriptural principles, then it's your responsibility to do something about it, and it's mine as well. I've already done some, I'm going to do more. Let me give you some next steps. Log on to a website, and the website is www.preservemarriagenewjersey.org. It's put together by the Family Policy Council, and it is an easy step to sign a petition electronically saying that you do not want gay marriage in New Jersey. This is aimed at New Jersey, but your petition signature will be sent to the president, the vice president, other people in a federal level, but also to the key people in New Jersey. And all you have to do is, it is the easiest thing I can imagine to tell you to do, is go on the website, look for sign the petition on there, click it, and it will take you, I mean, it's just so easy, it's hard to imagine. I'm not the greatest computer guy in the world, but it was no problem for me. And in about 5 minutes, you will have registered your convictions. Sign it again tomorrow. Sign it again Tuesday. Sign it again Wednesday. I mean, seriously, this is the crucial time. Governor Christie will not sign it. Governor Corsine will sign it. The pressure, if it was ever great, is right now in this lame duck session of the legislature in New Jersey. God wants to take care of our children. We need to take care of our children. You may find more information on that website, and you probably will. I haven't looked at it over the weekend since we came back from vacation, but I had a phone call on my answering machine at home saying that there is a meeting tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. Let me see if I have this right. At the State House cafeteria, where people are going to go from there to lobby for the traditional marriage. If you can go tomorrow, 8 o'clock, State House cafeteria in Trenton, where pro-life people, pro-marriage people will be coming together, and then they will have assignments to go and to lobby in the State House. I know no more than that, but you may find more information on the website, Preserve Marriage, New Jersey, NJ.com. It's too big an issue to let go of. It's too short a time. I mean, we can take care of it in these days. We can influence the ones that will make the decision. Save it until we get a governor who won't sign the legislation. Force it to the people so the people can decide, or just leave it there. Because if we can just get through this period of the lame duck session, now's the time. So I beg you, go on the website, at the very least, go on the website. And when you get on the website, look for that sign the petition button, click it, and then go the other steps that are necessary. Your voice will be registered. When I did it, I got the emails back from the people who had received them. They're automatic emails, but I know that my preference has been delivered. It's easy to do. Do it today. And then tomorrow, next day, next day, next day, until this subject is taken care of. Let's pray together, please. Father, we're going to pray. We're going to pray that your Holy Spirit would stop the process, if it is even going at this point, that tomorrow when the legislators come back and they have this lame duck session in Trenton, that your Holy Spirit would work in the lives of men and women, some of whom don't even believe in you, don't walk with you, but who have seen the destructive results in terms of the culture when this step is taken, and who will therefore vote against it if it comes to the floor. I don't know all the steps that have to be taken in the legislature, Lord. I don't know the committees that must approve it, but I do know that the forces of opposition are coming together, and so I pray that your people, that we, your people, would stand up to the line at this point for the good of our children, for the good of our culture, for the good of your church. Do that, we pray, Lord, these days, that we might be counted, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.